This podcast, written, performed, and produced by The Bivol, is brought to you by the above top secret family of websites. www.abovetopsecret.com.
You're listening to a From the Left podcast. Now, where are my pants?
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
That music can only mean one thing. It's another Big O podcast with me, the Big O, coming to you from my little radio solitude here in Atlanta, Georgia. Quite a bit went down this week, so we're going to go over a couple brief items. But I wanted to start off the beginning of the show here with an interesting breaking news item. Anybody who's been watching the Weather Channel or CNN may have picked up the... There's a big avalanche in Colorado. Now, the gist of it is, basically, it was a big avalanche, about 200 feet wide, 15 feet deep, and swept across a lot of the main recreation route Saturday, hitting a couple cars. And so there's a big search, there was a search. For some survivors from that avalanche, which is interesting. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw or heard of an avalanche occurring that actually wasn't meant or wasn't created by some of the mountain rangers. But it looks like, I don't know if there were any deaths yet, but there's reports 6 people were rescued from 2 different vehicles. And all in all, it was a pretty scary scenario. So anybody else who might be up... skiing in Colorado or any of the other ski resorts out there around the greater Denver area, just be careful when you're driving up on those roads. I don't know how often that occurs, but it's probably worth to have a little extra air of caution. So anyway, the other big news of the week is the Democrats officially took office. I actually was home sick on Thursday and Friday. I had a bad case of the stomach flu, which was not pleasant to say the least. So I was around the house for all the pageantry and pomp and circumstance, and it was kind of interesting. It was neat seeing Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House, not as much as because I'm this huge Nancy Pelosi fan. While I'm sure she's a very smart woman as far as the Speaker goes, the charisma just isn't there. It's funny because I'm a professional wrestling fan, so one of the big judges of a great professional wrestler isn't necessarily how good he is in the ring; it's how good he is on the microphone in front of the people. And some people have it, and you can immediately tell with most wrestlers whether they have it—that ability to connect. And when I look at Nancy Pelosi, I can tell you she doesn't have it. When she's on the microphone, it's stale, it's robotic. So she needs somebody to really work with her on some of that stuff, because the impact of what she was saying didn't hit me as hard as it would if she was a more dynamic speaker. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect her job, and it probably won't. It's not too big of a surprise. I've seen her talk before in various Democratic responses, and her performance has been lackluster at best. The message she's saying is good, and that's great. But you know, in this media day, you got to be able to deliver to really grab people's attention. So, you know, what are you going to do? That's just my little critique. But all in all, it was interesting to see them take over. And I actually had C-SPAN on for a while in the background, and caught some of the stuff they were talking about. So it was cool to see them talk a little bit about the ethics reform, the lobbying reform, and to see some of the arguments from both sides in regard to what they passed, who thought they went far enough, who thought they didn't go far enough with what they were doing. So we'll see how that all plays out. Their 100 hours, which at first I thought was the first 100 hours in power, I've since been corrected and realized it's the first 100 operating hours or business hours of Congress or congressional hours or whatever form of measurement they have for their things. So, because I'm sitting here going, wow, well, 100 hours is up and they haven't really pulled off a whole lot yet. And then I realize, oh, wait, that's why it's 100 operating hours or whatever. So they've got some work to do. I don't remember the total of the, I think they passed three bills in the House, the ethics reform, the lobbying reform, and I don't remember the third one. So I could be wrong on that, but minimum wage should come up this week. So I think they'll be getting their butts behind that. The real challenge will be that once all this the feel-good legislation sort of goes away, whether or not they actually get into some of the more serious issues, such as working on taking care of Social Security, trying to decide whether or not we're just going to continue with the tax cuts. Oh, I remember what the third one was, the PAYGO system. They passed the PAYGO system, which means you can't... You can't just do spending. You either have to raise taxes to come up with the money or cut spending to come up with the money you want to spend. But all in all, as I said, it'll be interesting to see where they go once they get past this feel-good legislation. So we're up against a break, and when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Iran.
Hello, ladies. Do you enjoy your weekends? Would you like to enjoy a sensation designed especially for you? New from Lesbans is Beaver Liquor, a new adult beverage from the makers of Peter's Special Brew. Just listen to what women like you have told us.
I'm not a big drinker, but it's remarkably easy to hold my Beaver Liquor. It's not at all harsh, and it has just the right amount of bite. I like the way my Beaver Liquor goes down, and it doesn't leave a bad taste in your mouth. At least I don't think it does.
When I have my friends over, I make sure there's plenty of Beaver Liquor to go around because I want my guests to have enough Beaver Liquor to keep them satisfied.
Beaver Liquor, just for you ladies, at fine liquor stores everywhere.
This is a good song. For those of you who don't know, this is a song called Come Alive from a group called Planet Funk. If you get a chance to check out some of their stuff, it's pretty good. I believe they're an Italian group. A friend of mine who has a lot of friends in Europe turned me on to them, and they've got some good stuff, so check them out. Anyway, now that we're back in the second segment of the show, I wanted to talk about a discussion I actually got into with a couple people while I was playing a game on the Xbox 360. I don't know how many of you out there are big gamers, but there's a game called Phantasy Star Universe. And the gist of it is, it's kind of like World of Warcraft, but without all the medieval stuff. You choose like a robot and a dude and like a dude that looks like a werewolf, kind of, without all the fur. At any rate, you have guns and swords, but it looks more like lightsabers. It's kind of futuristic setting. But what I'm getting at is the crowd that tends to play that game is older. It's not like if you play Halo and you get stuck with a room full of 10-year-olds. You're usually playing with people in their mid-20s and older. A lot of ex-military people play it. I've actually been really surprised. But I don't know if that's more akin to just the type of people who are purchasing and playing the Xbox 360 or not. But so we're playing through the game, and you have a party of six people. And one of the groups I play with on a regular basis, one of the guys is retired. Well, two of the people are retired military. One's retired military in the Army. And the other one is retired. No, he's active in the Marines. Actually, I think he's going to be going to Iraq soon. So, but at any rate, we were talking about a bunch of geopolitical stuff. And one way or another, we got onto Iran. And this guy was just dead set that Iran was going to attack us with a nuclear weapon. Now, I did not agree with him. And he was just adamant that what do they have to lose? Why wouldn't they attack us? Blah, 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 blah. They're all crazy. And the people said that they're going to attack us, and they hate America and all this jazz. And what I was trying to explain to him, or I don't know if explain is the right word because I wasn't preaching, but it was a legitimate discussion, is that first off, they're not going to attack us with a nuclear weapon. A sovereign country, other than maybe China, can't afford to attack us with a nuclear weapon. Well, maybe Russia too, because if they did, we would destroy them. There would be no more Iran if that happened. It's to the point now where we can tell, based on the type of radioactive isotopes in the air, where exactly, or a pretty good estimate, where that type of uranium or plutonium was created. So, I mean, it's not like we wouldn't know it was them. There would be no Iran. So, A, there's no benefit for them to attack us. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't possibly give that weapon to an organization and use them as a proxy to attack us. But again, we would figure out it was them, and then there would be no more Iran. The danger is getting with somebody who steals it from them and then attacks, and then we bomb them, and it really wasn't their fault. And then we don't end up getting the people who actually did it because they run off into the mountains of Pakistan or whatever. But what I was trying to explain is that the whole "we hate America," blah blah blah, rah rah rah, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I think that's their guy, their top guy over there. You know, the top guys realize that if they can keep the general populace whipped up into a frenzy, maybe they would ignore the fact that the economic conditions in Iran are just deteriorating ridiculously. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they're having all this crazy talk about, oh, we have to have nuclear weapons, blah, 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 blah. Everybody hates us. Everybody's against us, you know. Well, they don't have anything going for them. And if they don't divert the attention of the civilians there, then they're going to turn on them. And they kind of had in this last round of elections. A lot of Ahmadinejad's men in the local elections, the party members of his party, got voted out. And that's pretty substantial, because prior to him taking power, Iran was, of any of the Middle Eastern countries, the most likely to eventually democratize under its own merit. Now, it may not be a democracy as we're familiar with. Perhaps there would be certain religious elements. It may not be a secular democracy, but it would be some form of democracy. He didn't quite grasp my argument that it's an act. And while I'm sure they are developing some sort of nuclear power, the fact is they can't rely on oil forever, just as we can't rely on oil for power forever, because eventually the oil is going to run out. And Iran realizes, or I'm pretty sure they know, is that when the oil runs out, they've got nothing else to send or export. That's it. There is no infrastructure there for manufacturing, or at least not at the level to support the gross national product of a sovereign nation. And when the oil goes, that economy is going to collapse. When an economy collapses, the people in power tend to get killed or disappear because there's anarchy. So it'll be interesting to see how things unfold over there. But the guy I was arguing with, I don't know if he completely understood my argument. You know, I'm not saying I'm right. It's just my viewpoint on the things. But all in all, it was a pretty interesting discussion, and not one that I'd expected to get into playing a video game, so to speak. So any UATSers out there that plays Fantasy Star Universe, if you see a red robot running around named the Big O, that's me. So send me your gamer card and we'll go kill some snake things together or whatever. But at any rate, you know, that's enough on Iran. I don't want to get too much of a downer, and I'm by no means an expert on the situation, but I thought it was a pretty interesting argument. And especially in light of the fact that the study came out not too long ago stating that Iran may run out of oil sooner than a lot of people realize. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, I hope for the good of the people over there that doesn't happen, because there could be some serious, serious repercussions. But anyways, the study's argument was one of the reasons they're pushing for the nuclear powers, because legitimately they need it, because they're going to run out of oil. But whatever. So we're coming up against a break. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the CES this weekend, or this week, and Macworld starting up, so hang in there.
Cat lovers, are you you tired of not being able to enjoy the company of your furry feline friend anywhere you want? Well, fear no more, because Schmetlaff Industries introduces Flatcat. Yes, it's Flatcat, the amazing new product from Schmetlaff Industries. Flatcat is a real cat, and not some polypropylene inflatable substitute. Aren't you tired of no pets allowed signs? Don't you hate it when your mother-in-law comes over and says, "This apartment smells like kitty litter"? With Flatcat, you have none of the problems associated with pet ownership. There's no food to buy, no cat box to change, no expensive trips to the veterinarian. Flatcat is a real cat, dipped in polyurethane to preserve its life for over 10,000 years. Your family pet will become a family heirloom with Flatcat.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Flatcat is available at all Schmetlaff stores. Never needs ironing. It's a no-fuss, no-muss, fluffy friend you'll have a lifetime. Get a Flatcat today and make a solid friend for life. That's a good kitty.
We're going to bring her down in for a landing here in the last segment of the show. Before the break, I talked about CES opens Monday in Las Vegas. For those who don't know, that is the Consumer Electronics Show. It's the Super Bowl of TVs and electronics, so to speak. So it should be pretty interesting. This is when a lot of manufacturers make their big announcements as far as new items or products they're going to push for the year. One notable exception to somebody who doesn't usually make big announcements at CES is Apple, but I'll get to them in a minute. They've got their own little show this week. CES this year is going to have over 2,700 exhibitors, and the size of the floor is about 30 football feet. I mean, it's a huge, huge area. So a couple things I'm looking for this year. Number one, we're going to see probably some more displays of SED TVs. Now, for those who don't know, SED TVs are an alternative to LCD and plasma, and it's a flat screen technology. And what it's supposed to offer is a brighter picture, but significantly less power, and it's supposed to last a lot longer too. Now, the problem with it is that they can't get it off the ground. I mean, this stuff was supposed to come out like 2 years ago. It's just not happening. So SED stands for surface conduction electron emitter display. Sorry for not getting out of there. But Toshiba is one of the big backers. I don't know if they have the patent or what, but I know Canon's involved somewhere in that as well. But at any rate, the difference between SED TVs and plasmas and whatever is that it's kind of hard to say. It's similar to how CRT TVs use. Now, CRT TVs are the regular big glass things that everybody's had forever, and it scans individual lines. It uses like a laser light to color a phosphor coating on the TV. And SED TVs, the special type of thing is like a phosphor coating. So I'm not doing a very good job to explain this, but go to Wikipedia, put in SED, check it out, read up on it. It'll be interesting technology if it can ever come out. The contrast ratios are like 50,000 to 1. I mean, it's great. There's a 1 millisecond response time. The brightness is huge. The viewing angle is 180 degrees. You know, I'm running out of time. I'm not even going to get to Macworld. So that coming up in Macworld, which I'm just going to skip to, you're probably going to have an iPhone announcement. The ITV is going to come out, or not come out, but they'll announce it. Mac's going to come out, or Apple will come out with their quad-core chip, probably make the announcement for at least their Mac Pro. So you're going to get the Mac Pro, which is already dual-chip Xeon processors, so you're going to get the Intel quad-core Xeon processors, which is 8 processing cores, which is going to be ridiculous horsepower. Big announcement, showstopper, everyone's waiting for is the iPhone. I don't know if it's actually going to show up or not. Nobody knows, but if it does, look for it to change cell phones like MP3 players did with the iPod. They're really going to take it in a new direction. So, thanks for staying with me, and take care, everybody. This is the Big O signing off.